So we got to the top of five lines down, the two dots. The Gemara quotes from yesterday's Mishnah and says, Zeh klal. We had this statement in the Mishnah that said, Zeh klal, v'kol ha'osa melacha u'melachto miskayemes b'shabbos chayev. That if a person does a melacha and it's preserved, it stays miskayemes, one is chayev on Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to know, Zeh klal, that rule, Zeh klal lasuye mai, what's it coming to include? Lasuye dachak kapiza b'kaba. What does that mean? So Rashi explains here three narrow lines down, the Bezia, five narrow lines down, Dachak, Kapiza, Bakaba, Begolem, Gadol, you have some type of large vat, a bowl or something, Haroi, Lachok, Bokav, that has the ability to etch out, if you wanted, to hold a volume of a kav, but Chakak, Shalosh, Lugan, but you only carve out three lug. The Afal, Pisha, Asa, Lahosav, even though eventually you plan to make a full kav, but you've only done part of it right now. Yesh shemekayim kane. Some hold it. Some use it as three lugan. So even though you plan to carve out more after Shabbos, since you've carved out something that other people would use with this particular volume, that does qualify as creating a kli on Shabbos, and one would be chay v'chatas. Okay. So the Gemara then says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Hamakeh Bekornis Al Hasadin. So he said in the Mishnah that the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, if a person starts to hit with a hammer on the anvil, he's chay for Shabbos. So we didn't know really why. Just taking a hammer and hitting it on an anvil doesn't really accomplish anything. So Mike Ovid, what exactly is he doing? He's chay v'chatas. So Rabbi, Rav Yosef, Dami Tervaya, both of them say, Mipnei shema'amin is yodo, because he's now training his hand. He's doing, it's like practicing your baseball swing without there being a bat or without there being a ball, but you're just practicing the mechanics of things. So by you going up and down, hitting against the anvil, you're getting into the motion, the mode of... So as the anvil, you know, the metal, flat metal thing, you hit a hammer on top of it. So usually put something in between to hit it, but here just practicing, there's no clue that you're actually hitting, no metal that you're making into a sheet. So all you're doing is simply practicing. So practicing, b'pneishim ma'amin is yada, because you're practicing your hand and your motions and your mechanics, that itself is chayef. So Gemara says, really? Kashu be'bnei rachava, they had a question, el mi'ata, that's the case. Chaza umanasa b'shabas, a person observes umanas. He's watching a trade. He's going into today's all daf in practice. I spoke about observing a surgery on Shabbos. You want to watch a surgery. You want to go watch someone weave on Shabbos. You're not doing anything. You see a non-Jew doing it. You just want to watch them. Would that be v'gamar? And you learn from just watching. Hachinami de b'chayv. Would that be chayv? But learning a trade on Shabbos without doing an actual malacha would be aser. But moving my hand up and down without doing anything, it's aser. Watching someone do a trade, that's going to be aser. Certainly not. Se'ela, what's the case here? Abai v'Rava Damri Tavaya, both of them hold, Shekein Miradadei Tase Mishkan Osin Kein. Those who are banging out the sheets of metal into a flat amount, they hit on the anvil. They take some metal, gold, you want to make it flat and smooth, so you hit it on top of the hammer, on top of the anvil. That's what you're doing, and that's actually a melacha. That's what they do in the Mishkan. And the Bryce reiterates this point, Hani Nami Hachi, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Afa Maka Bekornos Al Hasadin Bishas Melacha. The person is hitting onto the anvil during the melacha itself. Chayiv Shekein Mirada De Tase Mishkan Osin Kein. That's how they flatten out the pieces of sheets of metal in the Mishkan, and therefore it would be Aser. So this happens to be an interesting point here. The Chumash Adeshin talks about, can a person write in midair? Just like make motions. Aleph or A, is that Aser? So Shulchan Aruch says it's not really Aser because you're not accomplishing anything. So in that conversation, the Trumas Hadeshin goes back and forth, and he says that some entertain the fact that it should be Aser to watch a trade on Shabbos because they think the way it read it, the Gemara says, is it really going to be Chayiv to do this? Then what's the Kamashma? No, it's only Pater Val Aser to do this. It's Aser, but not a Chayiv Chatas to watch a trade. But the Trumas Hadeshin says, no, the conclusion is it's Mutter. The Havmina was it chayiv? Are you chayiv for watching someone do a surgery or someone do a weave? No, it's actually entirely mutter to watch. So it's brought down l'alacha. The Mishabura says it's mutter, but he makes a qualification. He says it's only mutter if you happen to chance upon it. Meaning, let's say you're walking the street, you happen to be seeing a guy doing a weaving. Oh, that's interesting, it's Shabbos. Let me watch what the guy's doing. Back cry, you're allowed to. But to go out of your way, to go to a college, to go to university, to go to a medical school, to watch someone do this on Shabbos, he felt it was a violation of Zilzal Shabbos of some sort, and one should not do it. But Shlomo Zalman said if it's for pikuach nefesh, if a doctor is learning how to do a surgery, which is mutter on Shabbos because of the pikuach nefesh type of surgery, then he thought even on Shabbos lichatchila, a medical school student can go to a hospital to watch a surgery on Shabbos. But based on this particular sugi here.
But Zilzal Shabbos is not even a
Yeah, just a mimsoch avsecha.
Yulin
No, no, just it's usher. Mimsochav secha, do things that relate to Shabbos and nothing.
The Mishavura says
you could go, and the Mishavura says only if it just happens by cry, though. He says as a qualification, but to go out of the way, you shouldn't go to a college or university to watch a trade or learn something on Shabbos.
No,
he said you shouldn't go with a destination, with a goal of going to a destination where you're going to watch someone do something on Shabbos, that's a malacha. If you happen to be walking on a vacation and then you see it, okay, so then you could you don't have to turn your face away. Okay, the new Mishnah says, Acharish Kolshu, a person who plows even the smallest amount, HaMenachesh, one who weeds, different types of weeding they talk about, but just simply speaking, pulling out weeds, HaMekarsem, Rashi explains here, you're cutting out dry branches. Hamizarid is cutting out actually fresh branches, but they just can't get in the way of the other growth of the tree. Kolshu, any amount, one would be chayiv. So there's an interesting discussion, actually. Rashi writes in Krisus that if one does a chatzi shir of zoreya, you're pater. Why? Because a chatzi shir, as they asked the question, he said, well, chatzi shir is always asmer tar. Why is it pater here? So they explain, because since the shir of a chorish is kolshu, what's a half a kolshu? Meaning, whatever the smallest number is, you can't have a half of the smallest number. So kol shu is the smallest amount. So there's no half of that. Now that gets to a mathematical thing. What's half of, whatever, double infinity, of infinity? How do you do that? So there's the opposite. What's half of a 0.01? So they say that's why there's no kol shu, because there's no chatishir, because a kol shu can't be split into half. But the Orzer Ruh says, no, of course there's a shear for chorish. Kol shu is just a way of saying it's a very small amount. But of course there's a shear to it. And once there's a shear to it, you can have a kol shu. So the Orzer Ruh argues in Rashi and says, you can be chayv for a chatzi shear of chorish. Whatever half of kol shu is, there's a number. There's an amount. Whatever that might be.
If you make a little channel, what would be chorish meaning? Just
to dig a hole. Tiny. We'll see what the function would be. But dig a tiny hole in the ground. Yeah. So we'll see. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the purpose of a tiny hole? But we'll see. So then the Mishnah says, "Hamalakit Eitzim, person who's gathering up trees that's connected to the ground, im litakin kolshe, in limitakin kolshe, if it's there to fix the tree, so even moving one tiny branch would be considered tikkun, and that would be a violation of kotzer. Im lehesek, if it's gathering firewood, so then you need the amount of the shear kedei lebasha beit akal in order to have enough fire fuel for the cooking an egg. Hamalakit asavim, person who's gathering grass." Im letakin, if it's coming to fix the field, kosher. Even ripping out one grass that's a little bit too high or off, that would be sufficient to be a violation. Im lebehema, if you're collecting it to feed your animals, that would be a shear of kumlo piagdi, to fill up the mouth of a goat. So we see that depending on what you're doing, that's going to really define the shear at hand. So the Gemara says, lemai chaze, what exactly is a chorish kosher? What have you accomplished by making a tiny hole in the ground? And so the Gemara says, chaze lebizra dekra, it's worthy of planting a seed, a little seed of a gourd. The kavase gavi mishkan, the mishkan sheken roy lekalech echad shel simanim. In the mishkan, they would plant a little herb, a little dye that they would use to color the curtains and other things. So just like a tiny seed would be planted in the ground in the midbar, so too in my backyard, a tiny hole would be fit for planting a tiny gourd pit or gourd seed. So they asked the question, we've seen this in the past, but the Yushalmi says, how would they do Harish in the Mishkan? It was a midbar. How do you plant in the midbar? And the Yushalmi says, there's a miracle that when the Mishkan was there, the Bnei Yisrael was in the midbar, it had the ability, Minchas Chinuch writes, that the midbar had the ability to grow things. It was different when the Mishkan was present. But the Minchas Chinuch then backtracks and says, I don't think that's the case. He doesn't think that was a nace. Nothing actually grew. They had all the materials they needed from Mitzrayim. What it means is that which in theory would be needed for the Mishkan would be in violation. So even though they didn't actually do Chorish and Zoreh and all that, but that's really what's necessary to get to that point, so that would be enough of a reason to be included in the Lamates Malachos. So the Gemara now says, halfway down, Kuf Gimel Amun Aleph here, HaMenachesh, HaMekarsim, HaMezari, different forms of Chorish, Tanu Rabbanan HaTolish, these are different forms of Kotzer, rather. Tanu Rabbanan HaTolish, Ulshin, a person who rips out these types of, weeds, what did they say?
Endives.
Endives, okay. Hamizari, Zerad, the person who's pulling out branches that are good branches, but they're just kind of in the way, like we mentioned in the Mishnah. Imlachil, if the purpose is to feed, for a person to eat them, ki gogeris, that's the shiva gogeris for a person. Even the behemoth, if you're feeding your animal, kimalit piagdi, the amount it takes to fill the mouth of a goat. im lehasek, if it's to add to the fire, kidei levasho beit akal, to in order to have enough to cook an egg. Im liafos is a kark, if it's there to now pretty the enhance the field, the ground, and kolshun, even a small amount would be enough. So Gemara says, wait a second. Atu kulu lo, liafos is a kark ninu. Are the other ones also not? I mean, when you pick a weed, you pick endives, whatever you're picking, not only do you want it to feed yourself and the animals, but you also want to make the field look nice. So all of these, there's also going to be kidei liapos as a karka. It's not only the last one. So the Gemara says, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Damri Tavayu, both of them hold agam shanu. But an agam is a swamp where you don't care how it looks. It's disgusting, it's swampy, it's mosquito, it's wet. So that, you don't really care how it looks at all. So you've neutralized kidei liapos as a karka, and you've isolated only the purpose of either feeding a person or feeding the animal or for adding to the fire fuel, the fuel. So therefore, kidei liapos as a karka doesn't apply to all the above cases because we're talking about a swamp. Abai Amar, he says that afil tema besada. Even if you're talking about a field and you like the way the field looks, delav agam, it's not talking about a swamp. The kaven del mechavin, since you don't have kavana for it, it's davar shem miskavin and would be mutter. Mar says, granted, it's davar shem miskavin. I intend on picking out the endive so that I can eat it, and I'm not paying attention to it, how the field looks after the fact. But in the end of the day, v'ha abai v'rava damir tavaya, both of them hold moda Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yomus. But the psik reisha, when I pull out the endives, it's going to inevitably also create a nice looking field that's clean and smooth. So why won't that be a psik reisha v'lo nichalei or nichalei, and therefore would be a chayiv and aser? Gemara says lo tzricha de kavid ba'ara de chavre. I'm doing it on my friend's property, and I don't care. It's a psik reisha. If it was my property, I'm plucking out the endives, that would be a violation of psikresh de nichale, and be chayv for the apples of the karka as well, for choresh in addition to be kotzer. But if I'm doing it in my friend's yard, assuming I've got permission to pull out his endives, I don't care how his yard looks, and that's psikresh de lo nichale, as Rashi said, b'ara de chavre lo ichbas le liapos. He doesn't really care about this. Now this came up, we spoke about this a while ago, having a kiddush on Shabbos on your front lawn with water, you might drip it and care and spill it. That's a psik reisha, says the Rama, and denichle, I care about it. But if it's my friend's property, I don't care how his grass grows, and that would be delo nichle, and that's subject to a machlokas. So this long tosos here appears many times in Shas, has a machlokas between the aruch and tosos, whether or not psik reisha delo nichle is mutter, or psik reisha delo nichle is aser. So the aruch says psik reisha delo nichle is mutter lichatchila, you're allowed to lichatchila. Tosos now brings a slew of examples and says, no, it's delo nichalei. And even though the Gemara says here, in this case, delo tzricha de kaved ba'ara de chavre, that you're not chayiv for doing so. Only your own property you're chayiv, but someone else's property, you're not chayiv. The answer, the explanation would be, you're not chayiv, but it's still aser. It's still patev al aser. So this conclusion of the Gemara is going to be, no, my friend's property is mutter, or my friend's property is patev al aser. And he goes through all the various examples. So a few of the examples Tosis brings is, when you have mapis mursa, you're trying to pop open a pimple, since it's b'mokum tsar, the Gemara says, you're allowed to. But if it's not mokum tsar, even though it's psikresha de lo nichle, I don't really care about the creating a hole and the popping the pimple, it's asr, it's pater of all asr. But take a look at this tosos, it repeats itself several times throughout Shas.
Well,
we assume it l'chomer, exactly, l'maisa. So Gemara then says, ha-kosev shtei osis, new mission, now we're moving on to kosev, a new mlach of writing. Hakosev she'osios, a person writes two letters. So the din is bein b'yamino, bein b'smol, whether it's right hand, whether it's left hand. Bein b'shemecha, bein b'shemos, whether it's one, according to Rashi, one letter, the same letter, meaning two alephs, or two shemos, which means two different letters, aleph and a beis. Bein b'shemos, whether it's two different colors. B'chaloshon, any language, you're chayv. So two letters, that's chayv, regardless if it's the same letter, the two different letters, one would be chayv. That the violation of kosev is not because of writing. Writing is about, you know, writing something that makes sense. It's about roshim, making a note, listing, a marking. Shekain kosvim, shekach kosvim ala karshi mishkan, they would make markings on the mishkan, liyada ezebo zuga, which is the partner. They would write like AA or BB or CC, but not to write anything that's comprehensible, just a simon of some sort. And therefore, he had no, the violation for him was roshim, and Rashi says, mishim roshim, simin, shayu osin bakarshe mishkan mipneshim mifarkin also, when they take apart the mishkan, ulchshe kamihu, when they reconstruct it, lo yachlifu seidar karshim, they wouldn't want to put it out of order. They actually learned from here, a din, brought down the Magen Avraham, I believe, that whatever position the beam was in, they wanted to be in the same exact position always, because otherwise you're moving one closer and further to the Kodesh Kodashim. So they bring this from Arai when it comes to Tzitzis. We spoke of this also. The Tzitzis, which is the front, which is in the back. You want to keep the same order of things, just like in the Mishkan. You want to change the position. So that's why they put a little simanim on it, according to Rabbi Yossi. It wasn't a violation of Kosev, it was a violation of Roshim. So Gemara, then the Mishnah then concludes, again, Mishim Roshim Shekach Kosen Al-Karshim Mishkan Leida Eza Ben Zuga, to know which one its partner, where, which order it would go in. So Amr Behuda Matinu Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. You find a small name from a larger name, Shem Mishimon Umishmuel. If you write Shin Mem, you're trying to write Shimon or Shmuel, and you only write Shin Mem, you've accomplished a smaller name, and that would be a violation. Or Noach Minachor, or Dan Mi Daniel, or Gad Mi Gadiel. These are different times where a smaller name can be in violation, even though initially you had in mind to write a longer name. We'll get to that in the Gemara. There is an interesting machlok, because you spoke at Chatzishir before, but is there Chatzishir when it comes to Kosev or not? Have you accomplished anything? Chatzishir Asa Min HaTorah, if you write just one letter, would that be an Issa Midir Isa or would that be an Issa Midir Banan? Pashup Shat would be, it's Chatzishir Asa Min HaTorah. Writing one letter wouldn't be a Chiv Chatas, it would be at least a Chatzishir Asa Min HaTorah. That's the Pashup understanding. But there is a Rabbeinu Yerucham. We oftentimes don't quote and pass like Rabbeinu Yerucham. He thinks that writing a one letter would only be an Issa Midir Banan. I didn't see it inside, I don't know why that would be. But that's his understanding. I think the simple understanding.
If you say Chatzishir one letter, you would be Asr, but not Chayav.
Exactly.
Asr, but not Chayav.
Rabbi Yochanan holds all of our Shas Chatzishir is Asr min HaTorah. There's no Chiv Chatas. So, the Gemara Yuma says because since it's Chazi Litzirufe, he has the ability to add to another half of it. That itself gives some credence to the current one.
Why is Chatzishir? If it's a name, so then we say like Dan. Write a Dalit, it's part of, but it doesn't have to be that you're not writing a name, you're just writing two letters, so then it's not
no, if what you know, but if you well, we said above, according to the Mishnah, writing two letters would be, we'll see whether it has to make sense or doesn't make sense, but it's still either way, half a letter, one letter is half of shir, the shir is two letters, so you're saying if you write two letters that don't are not in violation, so maybe that's why this has a different angle you could take, maybe that's why it wouldn't be in violation, maybe. So Gemara now says in the bottom here of Kuf Gimel Amun Aleph that Bishma, this all makes sense. Ayamim lechayiv, the reason why when you write with your right hand, you're chayiv, Bishma dederech ksiva b'kach, that's normal. But the Mishnah also says if a person writes with his left hand, he's also chayiv. So ela asmola, why would you be chayiv for writing with your left hand? The ein dederech ksiva b'kach, people don't write with their weaker hand. So Am Rabbi Yirmiya, b'eter yad shana, we're talking about a lefty. So v'teve smol didei, kiyamin duchliyama, the asmal dechayv ayimin lo dechayv. So for him, so then his lefty should be his right hand, and his right hand should be his left hand. In other words, the Mishnah sounds like for one individual, whether you're writing right hand or left hand, you should be chayv in both. So if it's a lefty, only one hand he should be chayv. Ella, Amar Bai b'sholot b'sheyad. We're talking about a person who's ambidextrous, where he can write with both hands, and that's why this individual is chayv in both. But in a chanami, one individual, he's only chayv on the strong hand, that the one he's able to normally write with. So Rav Yaakov, Breid, Rubas Yaakov, Amar Hamani, who is the author? It's Rabbi Yossi here. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says this is Aser. Damar lo chayva shtei osios elam mishim roshem. He holds the violation is not one of ksiva, the violation is of roshem. And according to him, roshem, it's not about how things, how smooth things, how legible things are. As long as it's a proper simon, you would be in violation. And therefore, he's the author. And Rashi says clearly that with the left hand you could accomplish a simon just as well as you could accomplish a simon with your right hand, and therefore one's chayiv for roshim. So Gemara says, but for Hamid the Sefer Rabbi Yossi, he Reish Alav Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah says Rabbi Yossi is the second opinion in the Mishnah. So how can you say Rabbi Yossi is also the first part of the Mishnah of Shtei Osios B'Yamino Ben B'Smolo? And the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yossi, Kul Rabbi Yossi, the whole thing's Rabbi Yossi. He's the author of the Mishnah, and since the whole violation is one of Roshim, it doesn't make a difference whether with your right hand or with your left hand.
So if you make one Roshim, that's not Chayim. If you make two Roshim, is that what it's
correct.
Saying?
Two Roshims, two Simonim, that would be in violation. So Sefer Truma writes, just like when it comes to Shabbos, one's Pater, for writing with their left hand, with their weaker hand, so too when it comes to writing a Sefer Torah, writing Tefillin or Mezuzahs or Get, when a person writes with his weaker hand, with his left hand, he would actually would not qualify as a Ksiva, it would be Pasal. Sefer Torah, a mezuzah, tefillin would all be pasul if the lefty were to write it. But the Ramah says, lichatchila, a get should be written in the right hand, but it sounds like b'di'evet, if he wrote with his weaker hand, it would actually be a good get. Why would that be the case? So the explanation is the Chelkis Mechokik explains because there's a fundamental difference between Ksiva of Shabbos and Ksiva of Get and Nestam. Why? Ksiva of Shabbos is about the Mais Ksiva, how it's written. Not what's written, not the accomplished, what's being accomplished, what's being achieved, but the Mais Ksiva. So therefore, how I write it is of great significance, the right hand versus the left hand. But according to, with respect to a get, it's what is written. As long as you wrote something that's legible, you follow the halakhas, it's on page. I don't care how it was written, but it was written on the page. The outcome came out, perhaps not as neat, not as smooth, but the letters are there, the words are there, it's all legible. Therefore, you'd be chayv, even it would rather be considered a good ksiva b'dieved, even when you're writing with your left hand.
This is demonstrating an intent to do something. He's demonstrating that he wants to divorce her.
Right, I'm not sure if it's demonstrating, because you have to have, it says kasav lev, it has to be written, but on Shabbos is always about mleches machshevus. Whenever it's kavana is about how the mice is done. When it's about totsah, that you have to have a ksav, that, well, as long as something was accomplished, regardless of how it was accomplished. So the Gemara now says, last seven lines of the Amud here, that Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzinu, we find, Ella Rabbi Yehuda is referring to in the Mishnah, that if you write shame katim mishem gadol, shame mishimon, shame mishimuel, so that's also chayiv. So Ella Rabbi Huda Sheoshios Vehain Shne Shemos Huda Mechayv. It's implied that if you write two letters that are two different Shemos, which means two different names, so then one would be Chayv. But Sheoshios Vehain Shemechar Lo Mechayv. But if they're two letters, but two of the same letters, two Aleph's, two Beis, it's implied that that would not be Chayv. One would be Pater, perhaps Pater of Al Aser. Vehatane, but doesn't the Brisa say, Vehosa Achas, the Pasuk says, Vasach Achas, you do one. Yachal ad sheyichtov kol hashem. One might think if you write the entire name, only then are you chayiv. Or ad sheyaro kol habeged, until you've woven the entire beged. Or ad sheyasu kol hanafa, you made the entire sifter. All these you're only chayiv when you do the entire ma'isa, then you've accomplished the entire goal. Tamalor me'achas, even doing part of your intended goal would be chayiv. Imi'achas, if one might think only a part of a ma'isa, part of a melacha would be in violation. So then, yachal afil lo kasav ela os achas. One might think even one letter would be chiv chatas. For lo arig ela chud echad, even one thread would be ariga. For lo asa ela beis echad b'nafa, even making one, I don't know, hole of the beis nirin of the sifter would be chayv. Tamalomer, the Gemara says, going now on Tamar Beis, on the top here, Tamalomer achas, you have to accomplish something that Rashi says is shetei melacha shlema b'malchmech. It has to be something that's, you've accomplished something, not the whole goal. But, you know, Bate Shnei Nirim, that's significant. Shnei Osir, that's significant. Not the whole malacha, but a malacha. So we learn from here that Kate said, what are examples? It's very abstract right now. So how do we understand the Braisa? Halacha lemaisa. Give me some real examples, concrete examples. Ha Ketad, Eino Chayv Ad Sheichtov Shem Katan Meshem Gav. You have to write a small name of a larger name. So shame, even though shame wasn't my whole goal, but it still accomplished two letters that mean something. Katan Meshem Gadol, Shem Mishimon, Umishmuel, or Noach Minachor, or Dan Midaniel, or Gad Migadiel. That's the Tanakhama. Kamas Long Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer Afilo Lokasav El Shei Osiot Vehein Shem Echad Chayv. Even writing two letters would be Chayv. Kagon Sheish, Teis, Rer, Gag, Chach, all these things, which is, we're going to continue the Brisa, but this was the question of Rabbi Yehuda. Our initial diak from Rabbi Yehuda was only Shem Mishmuel's Aser. But Shas or Tas, all those two letters would be Pater. But this Brisa clearly states in the name of Yehuda, even the same letter, double the same letter, would be chayv as well. That's the question, but we'll continue the Brisa still. Comments along now in the Brisa, Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'chimishim kosev hu chayv. The first two opinions felt ksiva was the violation. Rabbi Yossi says, is it really kosev? V'alo eino chayv el mishim roshem. Roshem, the writing symbols was really the melacha talking about. Shekein roshman al karshe mishkan, leida ezi ben zugo. They'd make the markings in the Mishnah, in the Mishkan. The fikach seret srita achas. You make a little marking. You scratch in a marking al shnei nisarin on two different boards of wood. Oh, shnei sritos al nes echad. Two sritos on one board. One would be chayv, even though you didn't write a letter. You don't need letters. You need markings. So I don't think it's discussed here. I don't remember, but it is discussed somewhere else, according to Yossi, whether Roshem substitutes for Kosev or Roshem is an additional malacha. We assume Roshem is not a malacha. Rabbi Yossi felt Roshem is a malacha. I just don't remember if it was an addition to Kosev or we replaced Kosev.
According to these examples, those are all words.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Rashi points it out. Rashi, these are words that makes it, these are words that have meaning to them.
Right.
And Rashi brings it.
Well, what do you hold by this stam?
Yeah, we'll have to get to, I think the Gemara addresses this in just a second, I think. Rabbi Shimon Omer, V'asa Achas, Rabbi Shimon weighs in and says, when it says V'asa Achas, when you do a malacha, Yachal Ad Sheyichtov Es Kol Hashem, Achiara kol beged, achiasot kol nafe, until you've accomplished the whole melacha, the whole beged, the whole nafe. Tamalor miachas, only part of the melacha would be warranting a chiv chatas. Imiachas, if it's only part of it. Yachal afil lo kasav ela osachas. One might think even one letter. Afil lo arag ela chun echad. Afil lo also as ela base echad benafe. Tamalor miachas, you have to accomplish something. Okay, so how does that work? You have to write something that would last. So the Gemara is going to ask, isn't that exactly what we saw earlier? That, you know, Shem Yishmuel? It sounds like the same exact understanding of the first opinion of the Tanakhama here. So we'll get to that later on. I don't know if it's today's daf or tomorrow's daf, but that's the Rabbi Shimon now. And then we're still going on to the Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer again. Rabbi Yossi Omer. V'yasa achas v'yasa heina. So the pasuk says both achas and heina means them or those. Pamim shechayv achas al kulan. Sometimes you chayv one or in many melachas. Upam shechayv al kul achas v'achas. Sometimes you chayv separately on each melacha. So this is the whole long brisa. We have many, many opinions. Tanakhama says you chayv shem mishmuel dan midaniel. Rabbi Huda says you chayv even sus tas even the same letters. Rabbi Yossi says the whole thing is roshim that we're talking about. Rabbi Shimon says you chayv on a melacha miskayemes, which we'll see again how the difference from the Tanakhama. And then Rabbi Yossi again says that sometimes you chayv one and many, sometimes you chayv many on many. So that's the whole long brisa. So katani miha. What one line says here is that Rabbi Yehuda Omer afilu lo kasav ela shtei osios v'hein shem echad chayv. So even two letters, aleph aleph and taf taf and resh resh, all that would be chayv. Well, earlier we said you're only chayv for shtei shemos, not for shem echas. And the Gemara says, lo kasha, there is no contradiction, ha, didei, ha, the rabbi. One was Rabbi Yehuda himself, one was Rabbi Yehuda quoting his rebbe. The Sani, the Brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Gamliel, quoting his rebbe, afilu lo kasav ela shtei osios v'hein shem echad chayv. This Brisa, which says Rabbi Yehuda is really Rabbi Yehuda quoting his rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, could go and sus tas rar gagan chach, that would be chayv. But Rabbi Yehuda himself says you're only chayv if you write shtei osios. Just for Ezra's point, if you just look at Rashi, the first narrow line down in Rashi, Rashi is al shem echad could go and sus tas. The hein may tevas gedolos. They're from larger words. Kagon sus mishashbar mishashcha shashamam teis metasro. These are all examples if they are come from larger words. And kol shekain im niskavin l'ktana tchila. If you have intention of writing a small word just sus alone, even if it wasn't part of a larger word, but all these are examples where they're words, not just simanim. They're words that actually mean something.
Again, what's Rabbi Huda? What's his rebbe?
Rabbi Huda says it has to be two different letters. And his rabbi says that even the same letter, as long as they mean something, even the same letter would be in violation.
And this is kosev, not roshem.
Exactly. Kosev is, whenever you're writing a word.
Anything is roshem, because even if you put like.
Exactly.
If you're meaning to mark it, that's it.
Exactly. Kosev is only when you write something that means something. Right. So it's hard to understand. Rebbe, we understand. Rebbe, who this rebbe? Sin is a word. So who cares? So if it's about kosev, it's all about what you've written, something that means something that's meaningful. According to Rabbi Huda, it's hard to say why would the same letters that mean something, why would that qualify? So I didn't have a chance to look into it. I don't remember, but the basic machlokas and chakira by any of the melachas, and kosev in particular, is about the ma'aseh ksiva like we discussed, or what you were trying to accomplish. So we'll see later on, I think, in the perek, that writing two letters, even without any meaning, is actually chayev. Because it's not about what you've accomplished. Writing letters, I did a ma'aseh ksiva. Not about what's readable. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda rather, who quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, you have to write something that means something. If it means something, then it's chayv. If it doesn't mean anything, you're pater. So that's the hakir you always have to raise when it comes to the melach of ksiva. Let's go further, because I need to go soon. So the Gemara then says, two wide lines down, Rabbi Shimon, hainu tanakama. Rabbi Shimon is the same thing as tanakama. They both say, until you write written something that's miskayemes. That you don't have to do the whole melacha, you don't have to build the whole beged, you don't have to make the whole nafa, but as long as you've done a couple of them, that's chayv. That's what the tanakama said, and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, "V'chitev, if you're going to tell me aleph aleph diazrecha ikabinayu, the nafkamin is writing two alephs, is the nafkamin the Tanakhama, the first opinion holds that your sever aleph aleph diazrecha lo mechayv, and Rabbi Shimon sever kevan diisa begalturi ba'alma chayv, since it does exist begalturi ba'alma. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here that kevan diisa begalturi." Kemios ksavim al mechshefos v'shel shemos. They use them in witchcraft and kemios. V'korim b'lashin latin shel minim kalturis ragilin sofren lichto behen tevos shel shtei osios v'enim tevos b'makom acher. They only are, you know, Russian tevos that exist in these kemios. So it has meaning in a small audience. Tosin the top writes here. the Gulturish Ba'am Achayev, he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi, and they said, V'yesh Mefarshim, two lines down, Alf Alf Hainu Amin Amin, like Amin Amin Sela. He writes, Alf Alf, as Rashi Tevos, Shekosin B'Kimiyin, and he says, V'lesa, he doesn't agree to that. Dainu Notrikin, V'chayev Afilu Be'echad. And Notrikin is Rashi Tevos. If you write, let's say, I don't know, Tuf Resh, that means Tanur Abanam. That's meaningful. So we're talking about things that are not meaningful, but they only mean something in the language of those people who understand it. But Alf Alf means something to everyone. Rashi Tevos, no chicken would be chayv, even one. Even just writing, you know, the resh would be Rebbe, that would also be chayv, because that represents a full word. So that, by the way, gets involved in... So, okay, so either way, so that's what the initial suggestion is, that they're arguing about whether Alf Alf, which stands for something, whether you're chayv or not. So the Gemara says, Lemay resists to suggest that Rabbi Shimon is l'chumra. He's more stringent, that he says Aleph Aleph is chayv, while Tanakama says pater. Ba'atani, the Brayse says, HaKodeya Kolshu, a person who drills in a hole, even a small hole, once chayv. HaMagara Kolshu, a person who scratches out a small little something, etches out something, is Kolshu is chayv. HaMa'abid Kolshu, a person who tans a piece of leather, prepares a piece of leather, he's chayv, even a Kolshu. Hatzar Beklit Surah Kolshu, a person makes a tiny little picture, image, Kol Shu is chayv, and Rabbi Shimon Omer Ad Sheikdach Has Kulo. You have to make a drill the entire drill, the entire hole that you want. Ad Sheigros Kulo, until you scratch out whatever you want, everything. Ad Sheavod Has Kulo, until you've done ibud on the entire piece of leather. Ad Sheyatzer Kulo, until you made the entire image. So Rabbi Shimon certainly he requires much more, where he's actually lekula. Lekula means you have to do more to be chayv. So he's lekula. If I make a tiny image, a kol shu for Rabbi Shimon, you're putter. It's not until you do a kol shu. So here, Rabbi Shimon is lekula, while by the ksiva, alef alef, he's lechumer, saying you're chayv. So the Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Shimon ha'asa lashmin. And so Rabbi Shimon here by kosev, what he's coming to teach us is, lashminan ad sheyichtov es hashem kulo. He holds, not until you've written the entire name, would one be chayv. That's what he's telling us. So just like you say, by writing, you know, scratching out the entire Gores Kulo, or Tsar Kulo Tsura, Beklit Tsura Kulo, the Achi Yatzer Kulo, here too as well, Achi Yichtav as Kulo. So Umi Matzis Amris, could you really say Rabbi Shimon says you only chayv when you write the whole letter, the whole word you wanted, all of Shimon, all of Daniel? Vatani, the Baraita says that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Vasa Achas, you do one melacha. Yacha Achi Yichtav as Hashem Kulo. One might think you have to write the entire word you intended on, Tamilomer Meachas, only part of it, one would be chayiv. So Gemara says, Taritz Veimahachi, Yachal Achiyachtav Esa Pasuk Kulo, Tamilomer Meachas. The way the Bryce of the Medrash understood is, one might think you only chayiv when you want to write the whole sentence, the Pasuk. Kamashon, when you write the entire word. We, up until now, Rabbi Yehuda says, until you write a word of the word. Rabbi Shimon says, you need to write the entire word. You don't need to write the entire sentence, entire story, but you need a whole word. So I wanted to write Shmuel, I wanted to write Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds, you have to write the entire word Shimon, the entire word Shmuel, in order to be chayv. So we see from here, Rabbi Shimon is actually lekula in both these brises. Gemara now says further there, Biyosi Omer, V'asa achas, v'asa heina. Pamim shechayv achas akula, and sometimes you do many melachas, you only chayv once. Sometimes you chayv multiple melachos, multiple karbanos. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. My time at Rabbi Yossi. What was the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Achas, it says achas meachas heina meheina. So that's the drasha. It says achas, but it also says meachas. It says heina meheina. Meaning what? Achas sheheina. Sometimes one maisa will result in multiple melachos. Veheina sheachas. Sometimes multiple actions will result in achas. What's achas? Shimon. Achas is writing the full name Shimon. That's one. Me'achas is Shem Me'Shimon, part of a melacha. Hena are avos. Me'hena are todos. Achas she'hena, one, that is, that's many. That's Zadon Shabbos. V'shagas shigas melacha. Since you're shogeg, you're many melachas, you're chai multiple karbonos. Hena she'achas, many that are one. Shagas shigas Shabbos, that you are in violation of one Shabbos, v'zadon melachos. You did many melachos, but since the shogeg is on Shabbos, that's one violation of not remembering Shabbos, so that's many melachos, that's chayv. And that's how we understand the Braisa, according to Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara says, that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, matzinu shem katan mishem gadol, we find a small name from a larger name, so that you're chayv. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. So if you're at shem mishimon, shem mishimon, you're chayv. So Gemara says, wait a second. Mi dami, can you compare the cases? Mem de shem sasim, mem de shimon pasuk. We know the way you write the mem in the word shimon is an open mem. When you write the word shem, it's closed. It's an end of mem, or mem sofit, however you call it. So it's a different mem. So Amar Rav Chista, Because when I'm writing Shimon, I write Shin and open mem, that implies I plan to write more. So I have not written the name Shem since I haven't closed the mem. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista Zos Emeritus teaches us that Sosim Vaso Pasuach Kasher. If you write a letter that's supposed to be closed, but you write it open, it's actually good. So if I write the name Shem, Shin Mem, as an open mem, that's actually Chayv. That accomplishes, even though it's supposed to be Sosim, if I write it as Pasuach, that is in violation. That's Kasher. It's Kasher in the Sefer Torah. If you write the word Shem as an open mem, that's Kasher. And if it's Kasher for Sefer Torah, that means you've accomplished something and you'd be in violation for doing so on Shabbos. So Meisive, the Gemara asks the question, Uchsafta Mishaytei Ksiva. Uchsafta means you should write Ksiva Tama, a complete Ksiva. Everything should be exact and perfect and clean. So what does that mean? Shelo Yichtav Alf and Ayinin. Ayin and Alfin, you shouldn't switch, even though the letters sound the same for the most part. You shouldn't switch an Alf with an Ayin, Ayin with Alfin. Beis and Kafin, Kaf and Beis are very similar, but they're different. Kafin. Yeah, but already, yeah. I'm saying even though they sound the same,
right.
It's true. So that's a little thing.
If you look at the ayin and the tzaddik, they are one almost exactly the same.
But the aleph and ayin are not so much the same. Okay, maybe you're right.
But the ayin and the tzaddik sofi.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that one, I guess. But aleph and ayin sound the same, but they're not written the same. Beis and kaf do look the same, but they don't sound the same.
Right.
Gum and Tzad and the Gimel and Tzad, look similar, not quite. Tzad and Gimel and Delos and Ration look the same. Ration, Delosin. Hey and Chesin, they look the same. Chesin, Hey and Vavin, Yudin, they look the same. Yudin, Vavin. Zainin, Nunin, they look the same. Nunin, Zainin. Tesin, Papin, Papin, Tesin, Krufin, Pshutin, the doubled ones, which means the ones at the end of the letter, and the ones in the middle of the letter, those are Pshutin. And Pshutin, Krufin, you can't switch them around. The reason why they're called Kful and doubled is because the Menatz Peich letters, Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Peichav, they're doubled, meaning because they appear differently in the middle and the end. The way it works in Gematria is the Menatz Peich letters are after Tav is 400, then you have the end of Chav, which is 500, the end of Mem would be 600, end of Nun would be 700. They're doubled. They, at the end of the alphabet, the Gematria, they add up further. They go to 900 eventually. So like the Tzadi is 900, end of Tzadi is 900. So, either way, that's why it's called kfufim, because they're doubled. They have a second letter. Pshutim are just the straight. They're just the regular mem, a regular nun. Regular letters, like an aleph, beis, gimel, dalet, hey, rather. So then you can't make the memim, smechim, and smachim, memim, and stumim, suchim, suchim, stumim, parsha, psucha, an open parsha, lo yasa, stuma, don't make it a stuma, lo yasa, a psucha, ksava, kshira, you write it as a song, o shakazav, as a shira, kriotibo, or you write a song in the regular way, o shakazav, shlo, b'dio, you don't use the proper ink, o shakazav, as haskarios, b'zav, you write Hashem's name in gold, Hare Elu Yiganizu, all of these is in violation of Chsaptam to write them B'Ksivatama, and you have to put such Sifrei Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzah in Geniza. So we see from here, either way, that writing a Sasim Pasuach, a Pasuach Sasim, it would be puzzle. So how come we could suggest above, how does Rav Chisda initially say Zos Emeris that it's kosher? If this Brisa clearly says it's puzzle. So the Gemara says, Hu Damar Kiai Tana, he holds like this Tana, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, Nemar B'Sheni, it says in the second Pasuk, when it comes to Parshas Pinchas, which is coming up in a few weeks, it lists all the different Karbanos of the different days of the Sukkot. They all sound very similar, but there are a few subtle differences. Other than the day of the week, the day of Sukkot, it says a couple words that are different, a couple letters. It says, V'niskehem, on the second day, it says Niskeha, I think, on the other days, but it says Niskehem, on the second day, which is an extra mem there. B'shishi, the sixth day of Sukkot, it says v'niskeha, an extra yud there. And then B'shvi, the seventh day, it says k'mishpatam, an extra mem. There's mem, yud, mem, or extra. Hare mem, yud, mem, mayim, that spells out mayim, which is a rem, as the pasuk, the Gemara quotes also in Tainis, the beginning of Tainis. Mikad remet l'nisach ha-mayim min ha-Torah. So, wait a second. U'midabasuach v'aso sasim. The pasuach, married to sasim, meaning the niskehem, the extra mem, the way it appears in the Torah is an endemem, a sasim. But we're using it for the word mayim, which is a pasuach, an open one. So, midbasuach vaso sasim, the word mayim, we're using the first mem, and we're making it closed in the word niskehem, it's kasher, sasim nami, sasim vaso kasher, sasim nami, sasim vaso pasuach kasher. So, make a closed mem into an open mem, the word shame, and making that end of mem into an open mem, that would be acceptable as well. So he holds like this Tanner, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who has no problem swapping the open mems and the closed mems. So the Gemara says, Mi dami pasuach v'asal sam, is that really similar? When you make it, mi dami rather, Pasuch v'asal sasim, if you have an open letter and you make it a closed letter, meaning the word ma'im, the first mem, you make it a closed letter to appear in the word miniskayim, you close it off. That's, the Gemara says on the top of Kuvdala now, that's actually considered aluye ka ma'alele. That's considered an enhancement, it's an elevation. The closed mem, the end of mem, is actually a higher type of form of letter. As Rashi says, aluye ka ma'alele shaisa mem stuma v'luchos. There was a mem, we know, hanging in the luchos that was suspended, the center of it. That was an elevation of Al, says Rashi. Mem psucha lohayis of luchos. There was no open mem in the luchos, and therefore it's considered an upgrade. So that's allowed. And the Gemara says, "Damar Rav Chista mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hayomdim." The mem and samach, which were carved out on both sides, that means the center of the stone was busy floating because there's nothing was attached to. So they appeared in the luchos, which meant it was an elevation. Ella, so that makes sense to take a closed open mem and to make it an upgrade into a closed mem. That we can accept the word mayim and make it into niskayim. Ela sasim vaso pasuach, to take a closed mem, a high level, and to downgrade it, that's a gurui kamagarli, that's a downgrade. So to take a letter of the word shame and make the mem into an open mem, that's a downgrade. Dama Rabbi Yirmiya, vitame others say Rabbi Chia bar Abba, menatzpech tzofim amrim. The menatzpech letters, the tzofim, the Nevi'im had said them. We'll get to this, we'll finish this tomorrow. But either way, it was considered an upgrade in one direction, the other way was a downgrade. So we still really go back to square one, which we'll finish tomorrow, as to why that would be acceptable, writing the name shame with an open mem, which would be considered a downgrade. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a good